This morning for our Bible study, I would ask you to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's read beginning at verse 21. For since by man came death, by man came also, that is, through the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, since by man, that's referring to Adam, came death, by man, that is, the second Adam, came also the resurrection of the dead. Now, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22. For as in Adam, all die, spiritual and physical death, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. There we see that the doctrine of representation is taught in the Scriptures. In Adam, Adam stood as a representative man. In Adam, when he sinned, we sinned. When he fell, all humanity fell in him. Even so, in this last Adam, or the second Adam, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, all those for whom he represents shall be made alive or have spiritual life and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to bring you a message today on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how God saves sinners and justifies the ungodly through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Salvation, as it is taught in the Scriptures, is conditioned upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is declared to be in Him, salvation in Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And salvation is conditioned upon His performance, His obedience, His sacrifice unto death. We read in Colossians chapter 2, in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and believers stand complete only in Christ. In Adam, we stand incomplete, sinful, ruined. In the Lord Jesus Christ, by God's grace and salvation completed and determined and accomplished by Him, the believer stands complete. Now, three things I want to bring to your attention this morning. The first of all is ruin, sin, and depravity in and through Adam, Adam's fall, Adam's sin. We read in Romans chapter 5, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. That is, in whom all sinned in Adam. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Romans 5, 19. As I said earlier, Adam stood as a representative man for all mankind. When he sinned, all sinned in him. His guilt, his defilement of his fallen nature has been imputed and implanted to all men. All men, because of Adam's sin, stand guilty as charged before God. Now, what are the results of Adam's sin imputed and imparted to us? What are the results of that? What are the implications of it? Well, the Scriptures teach that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The implications of sin imputed and guilt imputed and implanted to all men is that we have a sinful nature, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. All men love darkness rather than light. Our Lord said in John 3, this is condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. All of our deeds, our best efforts, that we might think recommend us unto God, our moral living, our righteous doing, all of our righteousnesses, the Scriptures declare, are filthy rags. We read in Romans chapter 3 that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. We're all gone out of the way, we're altogether become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. By our deeds and by our best moral efforts, we cannot justify ourselves before God. God is too holy, and we are too sinful. All men stand guilty before God. We are most sinful in all we can produce. Sin is what we are. Sin is what we do. That is our problem, sin. And we know that we cannot put away sin by our deeds. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, that leads us to our second point. What is a remedy? What is a remedy for sin? We certainly have a sin problem. We must confess that through and through that we are guilty before God. We have a sinful nature, unable to put away our sin, unable to establish righteousness before God. What is the remedy for my sin problem and sin's condemnation? Well, my friend, there is just one remedy. There is just one remedy for sin. And that one remedy is one Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is just one gospel, the gospel of God's grace in Christ concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. There is just one salvation because there's one Savior. Salvation is in Christ. There is just one faith, the faith that's a gift of God given to God's elect, faith which is obtained by the righteousness of Christ. There's one faith that looks to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. One church, the church of the firstborn, those called and quickened by God's grace and made one with Christ. There's just one way, not many, just one way of salvation, one way of truth, and that way is Christ. Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, this one remedy involves one remedy for sin, involves one Redeemer. Who is this Redeemer? This Redeemer is the God-man, God manifest in the flesh. He is called in Scripture God our Savior, without controversy, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is who our Redeemer is. It's who He is that gives power and weight and accomplishment to what the Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf as a representative man. All those for whom He stands as surety, mediator, and advocate, they shall be justified by the deeds of Christ. Two key accomplishments our Lord Jesus Christ accomplished, performed as God incarnate, God our mediator, God our Savior. Two key accomplishments our Lord performed for His covenant people. We've read in Romans 5:19, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of another, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Those for whom He represents as their surety and their righteousness shall be declared righteous by imputation of righteousness given to them on the basis of Christ's obedience. You see, I must have not only sin removed, but I must have righteousness established. We have already discussed that I cannot produce the righteousness, but the Lord Jesus Christ, His obedience as the God-man mediator, as a representative man, He lived a life honoring to God, honoring the law of God in every precept and every penalty, thereby establishing a justifying righteousness for His covenant people that's freely imputed to them without any contribution on their behalf. Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, put it this way, quoting from Psalm 32, "Blessed is a man to whom God would impute righteousness without works." So in Christ, because of His obedience, we have righteousness established, freely given, imputed to all of His covenant people. Not only do we have righteousness established by His life, but we have redemption and remission and pardon from sin by His sacrificial atonement, His atonement for sin. Here in His love, we read in 1 John 4:10, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son to be the propitiation, the sacrifice, the atonement for sin. He gave His life for His covenant people. He laid down His life for the sheep. He shed his blood to put away their sin by the sacrifice of himself. He obtained, as our high priest, those for whom he represents as high priest, mediator, he had obtained for them eternal redemption. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:21 about our substitute who satisfied God, putting away their sin. God made him to be sin for us. God made him sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ declared from Calvary that salvation is not attempted, it's accomplished. The Lord did not die to make salvation a possibility. The Lord Jesus Christ died accomplishing salvation for those for whom he represents. He said, "It is finished." He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep." Those for whom Christ died are justified. So the remedy for sin is what? Righteousness, an everlasting righteousness established by the obedience of Christ, and redemption, remission from sin by his substitutionary sacrifice for his covenant people. Being justified freely by his grace, we have redemption through his blood. Now, lastly, in closing, what are the results of Christ's high priestly work? Well, we have reconciliation with God. Sin brought separation. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his satisfaction unto God, reconciles us unto God. In Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all for whom he represents be made alive. As sin demands death, so his righteousness established and imputed demands acceptance with God, demands eternal life. So we have reconciliation through Christ. Not only that, but we have what we need by the deeds and the merit of Christ, regeneration, faith, and repentance. These are given upon the basis of Christ accomplishing salvation for us. Through the gospel, God who hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Both true faith and genuine repentance that's God-given, sovereignly given, acknowledge the truth of salvation all in Christ. It's God who loved us and washed us from our sin in his own blood. Not only that, what are the results of his work? Reconciliation, regeneration, and revelation. To you who believe, Christ is altogether lovely. We believe the gospel because of God's revelation. He said he's hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Well, I hope this message will help you to understand, further understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Adam all died, even so in Christ, in that representative man, for all whom he died, shall be made alive.